today on Older and Wiser.
Do you use the same password for everything? Big mistake. We've got a list of the absolute worst passwords.
What's the perfect age to retire? A new survey shows that for some, it's never.
Also today, find out what your email address says about you and the weirdest things people take on planes.
I'm Bob Bates along with Susan Sikora, and you're listening to Older and Wiser. Okay, so I went through my phone the other day and I was scrolling down through. I have a little app where I keep all my passwords. And I realized I have over 40 passwords, all different, different usernames and passwords for different sites, for different shopping sites, for, you know, getting into eBay or getting into email or this or that. How do you manage all these passwords?
Well, that's the thing.
How often do you remember
your password. That's the problem. You can do the latest thing. Keep a notebook.
But isn't that a little risky to be writing down? Shouldn't you keep it in your brain? Because once you write it down on a piece of paper, anybody can get it.
In my brain? You're joking. Listen, I have to tell you something. If you put it down in the notebook, you can't even put it down the way it was. Because like you say, if somebody gets your notebook, you know, if that falls into the wrong hands, forget it. So, I mean, where do you keep the notebook? And then that has to be a bit of a secret. So you might use a couple of letters. But then if you forget for some reason what that is.
Okay, you're saying when you write it in the notebook, don't really write it like it is.
The whole thing, exactly.
Write just part of it, and then you know to add the rest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, got it. Well, many of us are kind of dumb when it comes to creating a password. They've done some surveys recently. There's an organization called Splash Data, which releases each year, they release the year's dumbest password. And the number one password, and it's been this way for years, is 1234456. Can you believe that?
That is stupid.
That's dumb.
In fact, I would not even try that if I were a hacker. Because I would think they're not that stupid. But then I guess I'd...
You start with that and see where you go from there.
Yeah,
the number two dumbest password is password.
Again.
You think you're being clever, right? You do, I'm just going to type in password. No one will get that.
No, nobody will think of that.
But it's a very, very common one.
Everybody.
You know another one that's very common people like to use is QWERTY. You know, at the top of your keyboard, Q-W-E-R-T-Y.
Because you're kidding.
It's easy to type in, right? It's just five keys. Yeah.
I never would have thought of that. No. Okay.
Among the others listed here that people use most commonly, here they are. Football. I get it. You know, you're a big football fan.
Yeah, right.
Baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome. I guess it's as though to say I'm going to welcome myself to this website. ABC 123. It's very common. 111111. I've actually used that. I don't have one anymore, but I used to use 111. Dragon, I have no idea why. Master, monkey. Here's one that I remember people using like in the 80s. Let me in.
What is that?
Yeah, I think that used to be a common one. As was login.
See, you know, some of these things that you said, for instance, when you said football or you said baseball, right away, somebody who I know came into my mind for each word. I thought, oh, I know, so-and-so I know loves football, rabid fan. Oh, so-and-so likes baseball. I bet they use that. Now, that doesn't mean they do. It's just that's, you know, you start putting clues together that way. So I would think some of those things are pretty obvious and not to do. What about like your driver's license or your birthday?
Okay. Now, for driver's license number, that is a common one, and yet I don't even know my own driver's license number.
No, that goes to my laziness.
I assume you'd memorize your driver's license number if you're using it as a password. Actually, what about a social security number would be a horrible password, of course. You know.
No, but you know how many times people ask you for some part of your social security number on a website, and you do it or you can't get whatever it is you want?
Yeah. Well, I always think that's a little sketchy when you're using the last four digits of your social. That seems like...
Well, sometimes.
People can get your social somewhat easily.
Yeah, I think that's... they need to probably do something about... but then, of course, if Social Security were to say, okay, here's what we're doing now to ramp up the security on Social Security... is probably add more numbers, and then here we go.
Then we get really confused. What about your license plate on your car?
No, I wouldn't use
that. I'd actually like to know what it is because because you know when you go to stay at a hotel and they want to know what your car make and model and license number.
And you have to go back out to the parking lot.
You have to go out the parking lot to get the... to write it down.
You see how complicated life gets over stupid, simple little things?
I actually took a picture of my license plate so that then when I'm at the counter, I can scroll through the pictures and find the picture of my license plate. And
good. Yeah. And then if you use that as a password, God forbid you lose your phone.
All right, let's move on to a related topic. This is an item I found the headline, The Ultimate Personality Test Based on Your Email.
Okay, I don't get this one now.
Oh, well, you probably don't, but I'm going to tell you it fits because I know what your email address is. If your email address ends in AOL.com, then you're over 45 and you hate change.
Well, I am over 45. I hate some change. Other change I love.
You still have a flip phone.
That change I love, I hate.
AOL is a very was a very hot thing back in the
80s. Because it was one of the first, probably.
It was one
right?
of the first, and it was very, very user friendly. So as we began to jump on board with the whole computer stuff, we got an AOL account. Everybody had an AOL account. Well, now we've all grown 20 years later, and some of us are still stuck with an AOL account.
You know what? I have a funny quick story. A friend of mine who also is more tech savvy than I, just about anybody is. And she said to me, you're still on AOL? And I said, yes. And she said, you're not paying though. I said, yes. She says, what
you're
are you paying?
Not.
I said, $4.99 a month. I'm still paying.
You are not.
And she said, no, give me that phone. So she gets on the phone and she talks to the lady and she said, you don't need this.
No.
I said, but then I'll lose my email. She says, no, you won't.
No.
So I didn't and everything was fine. And then something happened with AOL. Get ready for this one. So something happened with AOL and I needed to fix it. But in order to fix it, they would charge me per minute or whatever to help me. And then I re-upped it. I don't know if she knows I'm still back on because she's going to smack me if I do. She's going to say, what's wrong
I'm going to smack you. Get rid of it.
$4.99 a month. Now, can I still have my AOL? I can still have my AOL address if I don't pay them.
Of course you can. The only thing that $4.99 does, if I'm not mistaken, is allow you to have dial-up service, which you don't need. In other words, you can plug you've got Wi-Fi in your house. You don't need that. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Susan, we've got to fix that.
All right.
After the show is over, we're gonna get you off of that. That is horrible. Okay, moving on. You're frustrating me. You're making me crazy now.
I do. That's my job.
Can't stand it. All right. The next item, Yahoo email. If you have a Yahoo address, it supposedly tells the world that you're playful but solid.
How do they get that out of Yahoo? What?
Well, Yahoo came along after AOL. Mm-hmm. It's a little trickier to use, but not too much, but still very common. I think Yahoo's going down the tubes, too. So I would not suggest you get a Yahoo account. Anyone with an email account that through Verizon, AT&T, SBC Global, or MSN. So in other words, if your email address ends with SBC Global or God forbid, earthlink.net. Some people still have that.
When I hear from people with those. Yeah,
I know. That means you've been hanging on to it for a very, very long time.
You're even older than the AOL crowd.
Yeah. I don't even know if Earthlink still exists or if they're still in business, but some people still have those email addresses. Same thing with Hotmail. Hotmail was the email arm, I believe, of MSN, Microsoft Network.
I don't like the name of that. It sounds like, in the words of the late Joan Rivers, whom I adored, it sounds like you're trying too hard.
I thought originally Hotmail was like for dirty messages. Ooh, hot. It's hot.
Oh, see, well, yeah, you know.
Too hot to open.
I'm so hot, you know. Well, you're just kind of lukewarm.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I'm so hot.
That too. Yeah, it's just a little too much.
That's kind of cheesy. I don't know.
Cheesy. I think that word is, why don't they have cheesy.com? That would be good. I'll bet they do somewhere. Maybe.
I think by far these days the most popular email server is Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is using Google for their mail. And the last email extension that they talk about here is Mac, in other words, .mac, .me, or iCloud.com. All these things are kind of tied to the Apple family.
Right.
So, you know, they say that if you've got one of those, you're probably a youngin' under 35, and you're spontaneous and energetic.
Well, I have no problem changing my email address, except for the fact that then I got to let everybody know. And if that's an easy thing, if it's just a click of a button, highlight all this, click the button and go. But then I'd probably have to go through the list because I have things in there I should have, as we would say, clean out.
Yeah. Changing your email address isn't all that easy in that respect, in that it is true. You do have to let everybody know. And then half the people didn't get the message, so they're still emailing you at your old address. Yeah. So then you have...
I emailed you and I was offering you $1 million-a-year job, but I guess you never
must have
got
gone to your old... You don't open your old address anymore. Yeah, no, I know. It's good to keep one and hang on to it just for that.
That's what I think.
All right, moving on. Our next item, the headline here is, new survey shows that retirement includes work for older Americans. Well,
yeah.
I think I knew that.
Mm-hmm.
According to a new survey from the Associated Press, people entering retirement at age 65, well, that's really not a reality for most people. They're really not entering retirement at 65. Apparently, according to this survey, a full quarter of older workers say they will never retire.
Well, they've looked at their bank accounts and they say, I won't retire because I can't. Now, there's some that don't want to spend their days with nothing to do.
I don't think that's the reason they don't
want
to retire.
No, I don't either.
I think for these people, they don't have the funds. They simply couldn't survive on Social Security alone.
No.
They have to make some money in order to just be able to keep food on the table. 33% of those said they were earning less than $50,000 a year. And to be honest, if you are making less than $50,000 a year prior to retirement age, it's very hard to put aside enough money
Absolutely.
To keep you going for
That's
another
right.
30 years. Really.
That's right. Although I read a survey yesterday in Bottom Line Personal, he said you actually need less than you think you do, depending, of course, on what you were making. But most people think they need 80% of what they were making, and he said it's more like 60%, only because now this means if your health doesn't have anything catastrophic happening too,
whose health doesn't have anything catastrophic.
That's right.
I mean,
but
we all
you're
do.
Not running to the doctor every 5 minutes. Your spending tends to change. You're not buying as much of the same stuff you bought when you were younger. For example, I would think maybe if you're not working, you're not buying as many clothes.
Yeah. The survey also says that more than half of older Americans plan to work past the traditional retirement age of 65. More than half, six in 10, say six in 10 people say they're going to have to work past 65. And more than 4 in 10 Americans have spent at least 20 years working for the same employer in their careers. And those folks are the most excited about retirement. I get it.
That's
you work a long time
yeah.
for a company. You want to get on the fishing boat.
Enough of this guy.
Yeah.
or woman.
I've always wondered it would be a better thing to spend, your entire career working for one company that provided retirement benefits and pension and all that stuff. Or is it better to work for different companies and enjoy a variety of things in life? I'm just
it
not
depends,
sure.
It depends, I'm sure, on the company and what they do and how solid they are and their commitment on their side of the pie here.
Well, the bottom line here is things aren't great for baby boomers, and we better get over the idea that 65 is the retirement age, because it really isn't. Just saying that.
It isn't, except for the fact that sometimes you are retiring because you're forced out.
Forced
out. And the job discrimination still exists. And on the books, it says it's illegal, and that's nice on paper. But in reality, it's happened to too many people I know.
All right, time to take a very weird left turn here into a different topic, the oddest things people take onto airplanes. This item was posted by stuff.co.nz, and they did a little survey of 600 travelers, and a few of them admitted some of the things that they carried onto airplanes. Apparently, a German professor was arrested after bringing a human skull in his luggage. I assume it was like for class or something, right?
Oh.
It wasn't like he murdered someone and brought it on the plane.
Yes,
and yet, and really, do they have rules? I've never seen that, in the rules, as you're going through the line, please, no human skulls.
What's wrong? Put every weird thing you could possibly think of.
Yeah. Well, so I don't understand why he would be arrested necessarily for bringing a human. It's not a hazard. It's not going to explode. So what's the problem?
I don't know.
Another passenger brought on a 6-pound live lobster in his luggage. That's a big lobster.
It is a big lobster.
And it's wiggling. So and I guess it went through the carry-on.
Again, a labor-intensive thing, you know. Can't you just get a lobster where you live or have it sent? Isn't it less trouble and or worth the money to have somebody like deliver a live lobster or fresh lobster, whatever it is you want?
Well, you know how it is when you're traveling. You know when you're traveling, you get something you really want to bring home, like a big cheese.
Yes.
Remember that episode when Lucy had to bring the cheese home?
Yes.
Somebody admitted to bringing 40 pounds of beef in the overhead compartment. Really?
You know, why?
How did that go through the x-ray?
Are you going to cook this already? You're going to the family wedding feast, and now you're going to cook.
Somebody brought a headstone on the plane. A headstone, you know, for the
gravy. You can't buy cement where you live?
I know.
Yeah.
Well, a horse saddle. Somebody brought a horse saddle.
No.
Bagpipes. Somebody brought bagpipes.
Could you play a little something for the trip?
Here's one I don't get. Someone brought a 3-tiered wedding cake on the plane.
Yeah, now that's bizarre. Okay. Are you kidding me?
How could you prevent it from tipping and
and getting all messed up? Yeah. What's the point? Well, aren't you better off taking, I mean, if it's a special cake pan or something, send it from point A to point B, and when you get there, make the cake there. Why can't you make the cake where you're going to be?
Of course. Of course. Why not? I guess you almost need, if you really wanted to do it, you need to buy it its own seat. People do that, you know. People buy an extra seat.
If you get into turbulence, it's all over. Unless there's something where, you know, grandma is going to make her special carrot cake that nobody else makes in the world, but she can't get to the wedding.
That's
even
what it
then,
is.
She could still send it.
Oh, I think that's what it is. I think it's always some family-oriented kind of, we can only get this in Italy. We can only get this in Amsterdam, and we're bringing it back. It's a very special sort of thing. That's, I think.
But I mean, within the continental United States, though, to me, there's no reason. I mean, this is why God gave us UPS, isn't it?
Apparently, somebody brought a garden sculpture. brought a rain stick from Paris. I've seen those. Where do you stick that? Those are long. I'm surprised that the airline let them bring that onto the plane.
A rain stick from Paris. How is that different from a rain stick that you could find in some shop in the United States?
It's probably some special thing. But have you ever seen anybody bring something weird onto the plane?
Well, I did.
What did you bring onto the plane?
It's a cement bowl.
A cement bowl.
I think it's cement, kind of cement, or like a stone bowl with three legs.
Oh,
and you make guacamole.
Salsa. Yeah.
Right. You make salsa. And no, guacamole.
And you brought that. You had to carry that on the plane. You couldn't pack that in your bag.
In Mexico, all right, for $25 bucks, which I thought was a deal.
Yeah,
and
good.
I carried it back. This was years ago. They probably couldn't even get away with it now because it would be probably considered a weapon in the hands of some nut. But, of course, maybe I was a nut for bringing it back.
Yeah.
And then my friend's mother, who is Mexican-American, said to me, you know, you can get those in the Mission for $20. And, in the San Francisco Bay Area, I thought, oh, my gosh, I could have driven. And, of course, then I saw them everywhere.
Yeah,
but
I
don't care because I had mine for a long time. Ask me how many times I actually made guacamole in it.
100.
Never.
Never. Yeah, yeah.
But it was cute. And I had it on the table, and then I kept moving it around. It was taking up space. And then, I hate to say it, I finally sold it at a garage sale.
Oh,
I know.
So sad.
But I enjoyed living with it.
Yeah. They're nice to have. I mean, we have one. I don't know that we've ever used it for anything, but we have
that's
one too.
What I mean.
They look cool.
Yeah.
They look cool.
Yeah, they look cool. That's what it is. They look cool. I put it on the I put it in places in the kitchen. It was a decorative item for me.
The things
but
we bought.
I could have gotten the same thing, you know, not even 30 miles from here. So.
All right. Well, Susan Sikora, another fine week from Older and Wiser. We're glad you joined us once again.
Yes. And if you're taking a trip this week, my only suggestion is just travel light.
Travel light. That's the word of the week.
Or have, you know, send it.
For all the news for baby boomers and beyond, be sure to check us out at olderandwiser.com. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.